Pray that the Lord would help us and bless us as we look together at his holy and precious word of truth. Word that's upon my spirit this evening. You'll find this challenge to the church of Corinth not to be carnal. This challenge of Paul to the church not to be envying and in strife or divisions. And to look at that this evening in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as or like men? Well, the Corinthians, this letter to the Corinthians was written to God's people. And Paul tells God's people here that they are followers of Jesus, that Jesus has they're the ones that have called upon the Lord Jesus. They've prayed to him. And we see that he says that you've received from him, you're enriched by the Lord Jesus. And you know, as it says there, that you've received grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. These people have received the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've received the blessings of God, their Heavenly Father. They've been enriched by him and blessed by him. It says there, they're sanctified in Christ Jesus. And that means to be set apart, to live differently to the world. That's what he says that has happened to them. They're to live as saints. And then we read here, but then you're not to be carnal. You're not to just live like animals in this world. And many people today, it's almost like they just think that humans are just a different form of animals. And the laws of animals are the only ones that matter to us. It's kind of living like just a physical existence, as if we're just bodies here on earth, and there's no eternal soul, and there's no accountability. And Paul says we're not to be like that. You're not to live like that, like as men, like the rest of people so often do. There's something to be different in us as Christians. And it's almost like, yes, this is written to a church. This is written to God's people. And so it's so important for us to think that this is not something that can't happen to us. Paul is writing to these people, if you just in case you think this is an easy way of living life, just in case you think it's easy to be very spiritual, just in case you think it's easy to be like this, I'm writing to you. Some people may say that this is a problem that doesn't apply to us. But Paul kind of says, well, you need to know about this. It's written to the Corinthian church, God's people. And so it's important that we deal with these things and don't just think, well, it's nothing to do with us. Being carnal and being like the world, or being just physical in this world and just behaving like animals, it's not just a thing that affects us, you might think. We're not to be like the world. And then Paul uses a very clear example, a clear definition. Don't be envying. And that word, if you look it up, it's to do with being on fire and a lot of enthusiasm and boiling inside us, but with the kind of thought that you also want to win and want to compete against other people. Wanting to win and getting competitive one with another. Not just diligent to do the thing which is right, but trying to be righter than other people, if you like. Trying to be better than other people. Starting to compare ourselves with others. And with the more sinister aspect to it, that when we see other people doing well and achieving, we don't like it. When we see other people recognised for achievements and so on, we don't like it. And that's where this word then, this fire, this boiling word, it starts to come into its own. We start to get a boiling feeling inside of, I want to overcome that. I don't like it that that person is achieving whatever it is that they're achieving. I don't want them to have that. I don't want them to be recognised like that, we might say to ourselves. I want to have that for myself. And the reason Paul says this is carnal is because actually that is exactly the way that the world behaves. The world behaves as if we're in a race. There are winners. And if you're in the winning position, you're not just trying to focus on getting there the best you can, but there's also, I need to make sure that I don't allow the other person to overtake me, for example. We're keeping an eye on what's not going on behind to make sure they don't creep up on us or overtake us. We might think I'm going to try and hinder the progress of somebody else so that they're less likely to overtake. It's that kind of attitude of envying. I've only ever played croquet once. And I think the aim of the game, you may tell me different, is to get the ball through these various hoops that there are out on a lawn. And you might say, well, that sounds fairly straightforward. You just worry about yourself, you put your ball through the hoops and away you go. But no, it's not like that really at all from what I can remember. You're also, at the same time as trying to get your ball through those hoops, you're also trying to do everything you can to obstruct and block and, if you like, irritate the other players so that they can't succeed as well as you. And it's only a game, but that's the kind of thing that Paul, I think, is really talking about here, about us not hindering other people. You see, hindering other people's progress or success. And the church is, Paul is telling us we're not to be like that. The church is not to be like that, not to be like a race of people competing against one another. It's really the race that God has set before you is different from the race that is set before me and any other person here. It's a personal race. We're all in a different race, really. We're all aiming for the same aim, but God lovingly prepares a route for each and every one of us as we travel through life's journey. And success is not judged by how far ahead we are or how much we are beating down other people or getting better than other people. It's actually about us helping people to do better around us. It's to nurture, to be kind, and to be cherishing, to be protecting, to be supporting, to be happy when others are succeeding. happy when others are doing well. Not envying, but completely the opposite. Having a joy when others succeed. And it comes from knowing, you see, that everything that we do is not for ourselves, not for our own personal gain, but for the Lord. And the Lord will equip us with all we need for our race. He will equip you with all you need for your race. And everybody around you will be equipped just the same. And we are to love, and in loving, to share what resources we have with other people to support and help them to get on better in their race. You see, it's a completely different thing than playing croquet, where you're doing everything not to support but to hinder. But this isn't, that's the carnal way, says Paul. That's walking as men. But we're not to be like that. We are to give honour to other people as they succeed in what they are doing. We are to be pleased in the successes of other people. And it says in the Bible somewhere, I can't think where it is, but it says that, and if you do that, your prayers will not be hindered. So it's almost like if you hinder other people in their Christian pathway so that so-called you get a better head start, you're actually hindering your own prayers. You're actually doing damage to yourself. You're actually, if you like, scoring an own goal. You're debilitating yourself in that race that's set before us. You see, it's a... not about competing to win against others, but to work diligently, to busy ourselves diligently with that fire that's a good fire inside us, an enthusiasm that's a good enthusiasm inside us, not that looks in a sort of nasty way at other people, but to diligently do what the Lord would have us to do in our lives. That's the race that's set before us. And our success is not judged by people. It's judged by God. That He gives us in His service the answer of a good conscience. You see, we're to be so different from the way the world is. We are not to be carnal. We're not to be envying. And it says here about strife. We're not to be squabbling. We're not to be arguing. We're not to be unkind to others by, again, wanting to win the argument or win the point, so that we feel better and other people feel worse. You know, if you look at the Prime Minister's question times and various other things like that, all they're on about is winning points against other. That there's no collaboration very much of ideas and saying, well, I'm going to help you do this because I agree with you doing that, and so I'm going to support you. Now, they always say, if I was doing it, I wouldn't do that. And they don't give each other much support at all. I know they're in competing parties, but that's the kind of thing, you see. They're competing all the time. And that's the way of the world. They're walking as men. They're thinking, they're wanting to prove all the time, I'm right and you're wrong. That's strife. And then it says, not with divisions. We're not to be divided. We're not to be always just wanting to associate ourselves with people that think like us, and to dissociate ourselves from people that are slightly different. We're not to be just involved in our own sect or our own denomination as such, thinking that we are better or holier than anyone else, more righteous than other people, looking down on other people, divisions. But we're to behave with unity, because we're not to be like the world. We're not to walk as men. We're not to be carnal. And the world is totally about competing. It's totally about divisions. Think of political parties, divided one against another. We want to prove that we're right and you're wrong. We want people to believe in us and not you. It's all that kind of carry-on. Same with teams. One team wants to compete against another in whatever arena it might be. In business, people want to compete one with another. There's always divisions. We're not to be having divisions, but we're to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Believe that he is able to give my neighbour, your neighbour, lovingly what he or she needs, so that he or she will never want, just in the same way as our loving Lord Jesus Christ is able to give me my needs, so that I don't want. But you see, it comes from Jesus. It's not coming from pinching from someone else. It's not come from someone else getting less so that I can have more. It comes because Jesus opens his hand to us each personally, so that we delight in our neighbour as the Lord opens his hand to provide for them so that they don't want. We also delight when the Lord opens his hand and gives to us so that we don't want. Because we are able to believe, you see, that the Lord Jesus is able to do this for everyone, in all time, and in all places, and all at the same time. And so therefore there's no need to compete. There's no need to be envying. There's no need to be striving. There's no need to be divided. You see, Paul goes on to say it's not about separating ourselves. Paul said, well, one of you says I'm of Paul and another says I'm of Apollos. It's not like that, says Paul. It wasn't Paul and it wasn't Apollos that actually gave you the blessing. It wasn't either Paul or Apollos that gave you the increase. You've not been blessed, we might say in our day and generation, we've not been blessed because we're part of a sect. We're not blessed because we're a particular denomination or a particular group of churches. We're blessed because of Jesus. We're blessed because it says here, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. Whatever we do, whatever we receive, it's because God gives the increase. That's the reason, if there is a blessing, that is the reason that there is a blessing to you or I in our Christian walk and pathway. And that's why we're called Christians, because we are totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are believers, trusting in Jesus Christ, depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing that he gives the increase. That's why we worship. the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives the blessing to each and every one of us personally. And so that's why the channel of God's mercy flows into each one of us personally. It's not like there's a trough and each person is trying to get as much out of the trough as we can because then I've got more. It's a channel of mercy that is like the ladder that Jacob saw going from where he was to glory, and that the angels were ascending and descending to him personally. And all of God's people are in that circumstance where the angels of God are ascending and descending to lovingly care for us as we travel through life's journey. And he gives us what we have need of, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. You see, mankind loves to be divided. Mankind loves to say, well, my hero is Paul, or my hero is Apollos, or in other religions or sects, my hero is a pope, or my hero is a Virgin Mary, or my hero is somebody else. But you see, we are to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fountain that is opened for sin and uncleanness. It is he that saves. It is he that washes. It is he that takes a dead soul, if you like. Someone that's not born again, someone that's dead in trespasses and sins, it's he that puts his hands upon such a person and is able to quicken them to spiritual life. It is he, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anyone else. It wasn't Paul. It wasn't Apollos. It's not a pope. It's not anyone else. Not a particular sect or denomination. It's he that is the fountain that is opened for sin and uncleanness. As he goes on to say about planting and watering, as it says later on, we are, verse 9, we are God's husbandry and God's building. You see, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is the vine. As it says in John chapter 15, he is the vine. We are the branches. We are to abide in him, not in anyone else, but in him. And as connected to him, we will be receiving the rewards and the blessings of his kingdom. He is the good shepherd. We are to follow him. We are to hear his voice. We are to know him. We are to recognize his voice in as he speaks to us. You see, we read, every man, verse 8, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And we will receive it from God, from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a one way that the Lord is able to lovingly care for each and every individual person. We don't have line managers in Christianity. It's not like there's a whole hierarchy of structure. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that is head of the church, and he lovingly cares for each one. Each man, verse 8, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are personally given what we need by him. So may each one of us be governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. May we each be, as it says here, God's husbandry, may be husbanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. As a plant in his vineyard, may we be nurtured by him to give us the blessings that we have a need of. And then it goes on to say, ye are God's building. Each and every one of us is like a stone in a building. And I know this is another picture, but the temple of God is a huge building made up of stones, and each one of those stones is represented by you or me and all the Christians in the world. And every single one of those stones is being personally crafted. He crafts us, each individually and personally, for the place that he is fitting us for. And I guess it's a bit like a building where every stone is slightly different. I don't know whether you've ever been to Barcelona, but they're building a cathedral there. They've been building it for 130, I think it is, years, and they're hoping to finish it this decade, I believe. But if you go there, you can really understand that not a single stone looks like it's the same shape as any other stone. Every single stone is unique and has a unique place and has had to be uniquely crafted for the place that it is put into. And if you go there, you'll see all sorts of Bible stories portrayed in carvings on the wall. Everything that you can ever think of. It's fascinating to go and have a look and see if you can guess or work out what all the different carvings are meaning. But you see, that's the church of God in heaven is a bit like that. Every single stone is being crafted personally by God. Everyone different. Each on that foundation, but each crafted to be a different shape or a different form. Each of which is in that master plan that the master builder is building, the Lord God Almighty. And you and I don't know the plan. You know, the stone that was taken to build that cathedral in Barcelona, the stone that was taken didn't know what it was supposed to end up like. So when it, perhaps if it had got eyes, and you can think about this like that, if it was looking at the other stone next to it and say, well, that stone doesn't look as good as me, or it does look better, or whatever it might be. But it's not, no point comparing the two, because they're not to be compared. Each of us, each of you, individually and personally, our God lovingly crafts you and fits you for exactly the right place in his kingdom. There's a special purpose, and it's no good you looking at somebody else and saying in a competing way, well, I want to be like them, because your God hasn't seen fit to make you like them. He's got a special place for you in his kingdom. He's got a special function for you in his kingdom. And the only way you're ever going to know that is by not competing and envying and striving and divisions, but by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the master builder, to craft you into the shape that he would have you to be. What we actually need is to yield ourselves, body and soul and spirit and life, to the Lord Jesus, so that he uses us as he sees fit. He knows best. We trust him that he knows best. We've all been, if we're believers now, we've all been in a circumstance in some way or other where we've been unbelievers, where we thought we know best. But haven't we all been brought to that place in our lives when we realise that we doing our thing was nowhere near the best? It was the road to ruin. It was the broad way that leads to destruction. But the Lord Jesus has called us to his feet. And we love the fact that he has the master plan. We love the fact that he knows better than we do what is good for us. We love the fact that he will do infinitely better with us than ever we could do with ourselves. And so, you see, we come before the Lord Jesus just as we are, yielded to him, body, mind, and soul. Jesus, our foundation. Jesus, the one that gave us our life. Jesus, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our loving friend, our eternal home, the one that predestinates us to that particular place in his building, his kingdom, his temple that he is building in the heavens. What a massive difference that is, you see, from being carnal, where we think we know best, we think we're winning a race, we think we've just got to do what we've got to do, we think we've just got to obstruct the people that are around us, but actually we don't know the master plan. We may be racing, we may be ahead of the game, but we may be on the road that leads to destruction. What a solemn thing. May we each be not carnal, not envying, not striving, not divided, not walking as men, but may each one of us be coming where we are today. You see, the gospel isn't like some silly answer that I've once heard when I asked, how do I get to a certain place? And a person says, well, I wouldn't start from here. Well, we are where we are. We are exactly where we are in the time, in the moment that we are today. We can't change what happened in the past. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. But the moment of today, the moment of now, is the moment that our God calls us, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to his feet. From where we are today, he calls us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls you and me to fall at his feet and ask him to fill us with his blessing, to fill us with his good, to fill us with his mercy. That as we come before that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall not want, we shall not lack anything, we shall not lack anything in time, we shall not lack anything in eternity. As it later on says in that psalm, in Psalm 23, my cup shall overflow. I will experience a table being laid for me, a table being prepared for me in the presence of all of my enemies. Aware that there are competitors all around in this race, if you like, competitors all around that would strive to overtake, to frustrate us, to take us completely out of the race. But we don't look to the competitors around us. We don't look to those that could easily take us out, the powers of evil that could take us out. Where do we look? We look to the Lord Jesus, and he furnishes for us, he prepares for us a table in the wilderness in the presence of our enemy. And we will be provided with, we will, if you like, feast royally with all our enemies around, seeking to frustrate, seeking to win, seeking to compete. But our Lord Jesus will lovingly provide what we need, because he is able to look after his church. And when we're in his hands, none is able to pluck anyone that is in his hands out of his hands, because our Father is greater than all. There is then this blessing, the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as it finishes up with Psalm 23, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We shall be molded, crafted here on earth into the place, into the shape, the right place that we've been predestinated for in his temple, in his building, in his time. May we each yield ourselves to the Lord Jesus, not like carnal people, not walking as men, but trusting our Jesus to build his church. And we know, we believe the gates of hell, the powers of evil will not prevail against him. Well, may God add his blessing to those thoughts. Let's pray.